Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for July the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our 2 of 2. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful solutions that we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth using the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. It is an extended Independence Day weekend, ladies and gentlemen, celebrating. Well, we celebrate it 365 and a quarter days a year. Others only talk about it when they can on the 4th or something like that. We celebrate liberty and independence all the time on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this broadcast is about. Dr. Scott Bradley with me once again. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you very much. And based upon what I'm experiencing in the weather, we must officially be in the dog days of summer. I don't know. Is there a calendar date we usually shoot for that, or is it just here early, in my opinion?
It is here early, sir, and it's hotter than all get out, I'll tell you that right now. The sun just beating down, and wow. And it's big drought time as well, I might add.
Well, you know, it is, and it's interesting to me. The scriptures speak of the proud and they that do wickedly, and the under those that are, basically the wise and the prudent, all of their stuff is being set aside. The Lord talks about that happening, in the scriptures, and I just can't help but wonder if sometimes if we're not missing the cause of all this kind of nonsense when we have actually cast aside the source of all our blessings. It kind of reminds me, of 1962, which is a long ways for a lot of people to go back, but when we basically excommunicated God from our schools, the downside of all of that, and I think we're still, really, really heavily in that slide, but nobody seems to understand that the quality that we had at one time in this nation educationally, or the quality that we had in our prosperity and our all of the things that made America such a delightful, wonderful land, have kind of been cast aside now. I just feel really pretty terrible about that, and it seems like nobody seems to equate that to how we've turned our back on the things that, God originally established in this land. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, and Dr. Bradley, that's why I say there's no such thing as politics when you really think about it. All there is are moral issues. Politics is an effort to divide and conquer on every topic under the sun. You divide first by the people who don't want to talk about controversial things. You make politics controversial. So you get rid of most of the population who don't want to deal with controversy. Then the rest just kind of wrestle with the hogs with all the divide and conquer tactics at hand in the media. But I submit to you that all issues are moral. And the example I gave Lowell last hour about this that I want to reiterate for you, because it relates to the dog days of summer and climate change and everything else. Look, does the climate change? Yes, it does, ladies and gentlemen. It has cycles to it. Every day it gets hot, and every night it gets cooler. Every day the sun comes out, and then every night the moon comes out, and there's clouds and et cetera. That it changes, okay, on a daily basis. Climate change happens, with winter, spring, summer, and fall. So it's yearly cyclical as well. And then we have ice ages and heat ages through the history of the earth that we can check. Okay, all that has some truth to it. Now, here's the reality. God is the ultimate weatherman. And when the people keep the commandments of God, he blesses them with rain and crops and stability and safety and food and harmony and happiness. And wow, it's incredible. If we keep his commandments, that's the blessing. That's his promise to all of us. On the other hand, if we turn our back on God Almighty, he uses the elements. He uses the weather and calamities as a way to stir us up in remembrance of our God. It's an act of love to prevent even greater and more miserable consequences for our disobedience, okay? So the climate does change. God's in charge of the weather. He's the ultimate weatherman. However, We also got to understand that God gave us the earth, and he said, you know what, I want you to take care of it and be kind to the earth and treat it respectfully, and it'll give you plenty bounty. However, what governments have done now is they've said, we are above God, climate change is upon us, humans are the enemy of climate change, therefore population control and pro-death agendas take hold, and control of every aspect of our life and our lives are contemplated by government in an effort to supposedly protect us from this evil climate change, replacing God. The problem is God would stir us up in remembrance of him and continue to promote and protect our agency to choose as we will. Choose rightly and wonderful consequences follow. Choose wrongly and, wow, the consequences are brutal. On the other hand, governments, they don't want to preserve agency. What they want to do is force us to do what they think is best under the climate change agenda they have. And really, it's God against government in this climate change battle. The problem is that's not, none of that is political. It's all a moral question that we're discussing, but they want to make it very political indeed because that's how they divide and conquer. What do you say to that, Pro, Dr. Bradley?
Well, I think that you're onto something. Part of the problem we've got is that we have preached this secular religion so expansively, so almost universally, for so many decades, so many generations now, that the hearts and minds are largely turned from God by our officialdom, if you will. I mean, this idea, I mentioned 1962 and the issue of the Supreme Court kicking God out of school. Well, there's a lot of other things that are, I mean, weather certainly is a part of that, I believe. But, there's a whole bunch of, as you point out, moral issues, and it can be war. I mean, you know, you say, oh, I'm pro-life, but a lot of those politicians that say they're pro-life are pro-death. Once the kid's born and becomes 18 years old, we want to send them all around the world and become a warlike people, become a warmongering people. I mean, think of the moral tenor of the nation, whether it's pornography or the type of entertainment that we have, whether it's the way we've kind of debauched the true character of marriage. It's just a broad spectrum of things, and it seems like we're just bound and determined that we're going to kind of cast aside any of the moral foundational kinds of moorings, if you will, that God has given throughout all of history that were directed to help us, you know, enjoy the abundance that God had originally established for the earth. You know, you think about the earth. It's a, you know, as a little kid, I was fascinated by terrariums and how they had the kind of their own little ecosystem, and they generated their own moisture. It seemed like, you know, it would condense and then it would come back into the earth, and the plants flourished and grew. And it was just astounding to me. But this good earth that we've got, that's been going for so many thousands of years and has been rejuvenating itself, as you talk about the different seasons, you know, the season of rest perhaps in the wintertime for those of us in a hemisphere that experiences the seasons. And then there's a renewing, and then there's a time of sowing and a time of reaping and all of these things. I mean, you know, a time for all things and all seasons. And it's been recycling, if you will, at the direction of God. I think the earth is probably one of the, well, I think all of God's creations except for humankind are really focused, allowing, willing, obedient, if you will, to the direction and counsel God has given them. God puts the planets in their locations, and he set the times and seasons of the earth, and there's been all sorts of efforts by mankind to foul things up, but the earth keeps on chucking. You know, it keeps going through everything that it's supposed to do, while we, God's children, supposedly his most advanced creations, continue to rebel and to, you know, basically cast aside, oh, we don't need that anymore. We're too cosmopolitan. Oh, no, no, no. We have become so advanced. We worship the wisdom of man. I mean, you look at this COVID vaccine. Holy cow. I listened to what has been done on that and the spin that has been put in that and the lack of science in what's there and what is being offered as the solution to everything that God really had solutions all along the way, and we were unwilling to give consideration to them. I mean, it's just astonishing to me how we looked to Big Pharma making billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of dollars off of this when they have no risk, they have no proven technology, they have no science really to say this is going to work because they've never used this technology on humans before. And the news break just before we came on, I heard how Fauci was making his big pitch. Oh, put aside your differences and get that. You know, I find people were saying, oh, for abundance of caution, let's mask up, let's lock down, let's do all this. And none of the people are willing to recognize the abundance of caution that we could be exercising right now and recognizing the downside to what we're doing to ourselves with the wisdom of man and the understanding of the prudent and the wise, so-called, that God has said he will put at naught. He has told us that that's not going to work. I mean, you know, you read, for example, in Isaiah, and he talks about these things, and it's like, holy cow. he talks about the wisdom of the wise shall perish. Understanding of the prudent, he set aside, hid. You look in 1 Corinthians, you know, he tells us what he's going to do, and all these wise men that we have out there are destroying everything. That sounds like we've got to take a break, doesn't it?
Got to pray and got to work hard, ladies and gentlemen. We are celebrating Independence Day on your radio with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things, and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Buchman, Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio, talking about the sacred cause of liberty as always on your radio, talking about God's laws, talking about things are not political as you are led to believe. That's the divide and conquer tactic. Really, things are moral. God using the weather to stir us up in remembrance of him. And I'm telling you right now, as we continue to turn our back on God, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to get much worse indeed, folks, if we're not very, very careful. This is kind of a serious, serious discussion, Dr. Bradley, about, I believe that right now we have problems with kind of the coronavirus or whatever else, and this is to stir us up in remembrance of our God, in my opinion. And it was kind of a shot across the bow. Are we going to turn to God or are we going to reject his word? We're seeing this all over the place, but the next step might be the climate change debate and might eventually be a famine if we don't, I don't know what kind of to say, but to work on this, it's something that we better really take heed about, or we're going to have a famine in the land, sir. There's been so many years of drought already, it wouldn't take much to make it worse.
Well, like I say, we do think that we're so sophisticated that we're above all of that stuff. It's like the yo-yo that was back east at one of the town hall meetings that said, what do we need farmers for? We've got grocery stores. I mean, the short-sightedness of how we're doing things, we're not connecting the dots. We've gotten very poor at connecting the dots in terms of our reading for understanding and cognitive understanding of different things, what's related and what's not. And people would say, oh, you're trying to conflate things by relating the weather and difficulties in society to an abandonment of God. And I think, well, you know what? If you can't learn from the historical references that we can bring forth, maybe you're past learning. Maybe you can't learn. But I would submit that you know, famine, weather, and everything has historically been used by God. And I think that it's a problem today. I think war has historically been used similarly to scourge the people. I think that the economic situations have been used similarly, where it seems as though suddenly we're out of control. We've lost what bearings we thought we had, and ultimately and finally, historically, the people have said, oh yeah, God. But today, like I say, we've had this humanist religion that's been pounded into every generation for so long that man and their understanding is all that we worship, and we've created our own gods. And whatever you put at the pinnacle, if you will, and basically look to that as your salvation, is your God. I mean, we've got a false God today in government. I mean, that's
amen to that. And we've got a false God in our worship of some of these leaders as well. Let me give you kind of a point to make this. The question is Ron DeSantis the tip of the GOP
spear
in 2024 is the question. And I kind of look at that and I go, you know what? I'm not saying that Ron's done a horrible job. But if we think Ron is going to save us, we're completely mistaken. That's the same thing they kind of asked about Trump, and they asked about Obama, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Is Ron DeSantis the tip of the 2024 GOP spear? I don't think so. You look at Brian Kemp, and Governor Brian Kemp says Biden is weaponizing the Department of Justice. Well, they literally thought Biden would save us all. Now he's weaponizing the Department of Justice? Not only would Brian Kemp say that, but so would many others. Myself, Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump. You would even say that, Scott Bradley, that, you know what? Biden is weaponizing the Department of Justice. But we look to leaders in some crazy ways these days. This idea that they're a savior figure is mocking, in my opinion, the real savior, the one and only Jesus Christ, Dr. Bradley.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if we worship at the altar of COVID, which we are doing, and we look to these pharma companies and researchers and scientists as saviors, we have chosen false gods. And they may not be gods of stone and steel and things that are made out of gold or images of silver or whatever that we saw anciently, but that which we look to as our salvation becomes our God. And when we do that, I think we offend God. And I think the same thing happens oftentimes with you bring out the leaders, for example. They're human beings. They're mortal. They're as weak and imperfect as I am. There's no question about that. And unless and until they can form their actions, their perspectives, their, if you will, policies with those of our divine God, they're going to disappoint in terms of the results they'll bring. I find it so astounding to people how they say, oh my goodness, I made this big mistake. Oh, my community. Oh, my whatever. The nation's making a big mistake. And who did those mistakes? People do those mistakes. Oh, suddenly we're going to look to a mortal person to be the one that's going to correct all of those mistakes. And you say, no, people do stupid things. And whether you're sitting at the highest office in the nation or whether you're the mayor or the governor, or whether you're some guy that's just trying to figure out what kind of weed killer to put on his lawn, which we could talk about that for a long time, too, about how wise some of those things are. But the point of the matter is people make stupid decisions. And to think that somebody, because they have gained some preeminence, because they were able to convince enough people to vote for them, suddenly have all the answers, we're fooling ourselves. I mean, we have a divine perspective that is, in my opinion, tried and true, proven unequivocally. It is stable. It's predictable. It is safe. And yet we look to individuals, as you point out. I mean, some of these people that are surfacing, I guarantee to you, a close examination of these individuals will disappoint you. I mean, and we could bring out countless examples of virtually everybody. We elect our presidents out of a basically a crop of lessers. Almost everybody that holds high office is a lesser. And part of that problem is the way that our political system is set up today. And the founding fathers foresaw that. We could read you something that some of them said in regards to how these kinds of people would become our leaders as we progressed as a nation. Progress is a bad word. As we extended our time as a nation, because our leaders have become more questionable, more selected out of a group of lessers, to the point that you say, how can we trust them? How can we respect them and expect them to come up with good solutions? We can't. But there is a true and valid approach to things, and it's a return to the original foundation. God gave judges in the beginning that were wise, but then over time they polluted things, and you got to the point where the judges were part of the problem. And yes, indeed, they are today. Our judges, when I say judges, I don't mean just, you know, the ones that wear black robes and sit on the bench and send people to prison and stuff like that. I'm talking about those that sit in political assignments that these are supposedly, we're supposed to elect wise individuals to those things, and their wisdom is called in question almost every moment that we have any interaction with them. So we look back to the original source of the information and the knowledge and the understanding that was originally established for us to be happy and successful. And that, by the way, is where the founding fathers looked when they were attempting to establish this new government of theirs. And we've talked about this before. I don't need to belabor it. But the fact of the matter is, they saw, I mean, as you come through the Renaissance, they saw things, order in the universe. They saw things had a place that spoke of a creator, of a purpose, of a divine role. And when they saw that in everything, from the smallest to the largest creations in the universe, they got to thinking, maybe, God has purpose and he has a plan, he has a formula, if you will, that might bring happiness to mankind. And they looked to the scriptures for those things, and what those things they came up with were individual God-given rights that are to be protected. I mean, this idea of thou shalt not steal. What makes you think government, with the approval of a majority of people, can steal now? They can't not and have God be pleased with them. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You're not supposed to do anything like kill. What's like that? Oh, abortion. Oh, warfare. We mock the Prince of Peace. Everything we turn about and we make legal in our society that violates baseline principles, I believe ultimately and finally we're going to be accountable for them. And George Mason in the Constitution Convention talked about how nations don't exist in eternity, and therefore they have to have their judgment in this life. And I think we're fast approaching that in America. It's time for our hearts to be turned back to where it needs to be, where they need
Amen
to be.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. There seems to be a dearth of righteous leadership in America and in the world today, doesn't there? Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The Champlain Towers in Surfside, Florida are no more. After the partial collapse June 24th that killed dozens with hundreds still missing, the precarious building was hampering efforts to workers. It came down Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, and workers have resumed their efforts. A broad array of businesses and public agencies were hit Friday by the latest ransomware attack on all continents. Those hit were financial services, travel and leisure, and the public sector, though few large companies. A $70 million demand was posted on a blog typically used by the Revel cybercrime gang working on Russian soil. Singers Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton got married on Saturday. The ceremony took place at Shelton's Oklahoma ranch, where sources said he built a chapel in the backyard with the intention of marrying Stefani there. This is USA Radio News.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
How many hot dogs could you eat in 10 minutes? Well, we have a new world record. Jeremy Scott reports.
For the 14th time, defending champion Joey Jaws Chestnut took home the men's crown in Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest.
With 76, Nathan's hot dog.
Chestnut downing 76 dogs and buns in 10 minutes, one more than his record-setting feat last year. On the women's side, Michelle Lesko took the women's title, downing nearly 31 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Reigning women's champion and record holder Miki Sudo skipped this year because she's expecting a baby in a few weeks. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, have we lost our hot dog eating minds? You got a woman that's pregnant that eats 31 plus hot dogs. You think that's good for her or her baby? All to supposedly be the woman's champion. Women eating half, less than half as many hot dogs as the men competitions. And we pretend there's no difference in male and females. And then, I mean, eating this many hot dogs, I mean, eating 5 hot dogs makes me want to puke. Oh, my goodness gracious. Horrible. But what will we do in America for bogus leaders and bread and circus, doctor?
You know, a couple of, I'm not going to go down there with the hot dogs. It's just, it's insanity. I guess it.
All I'm telling you is the bread and circus we're known for, though, we're just deceived from things that matter most is the whole point.
We are distracted absolutely by, as you say, bread and circuses, and that was a big portion of the fall of Rome and how they kept the people distracted. And we're kept distracted by fear, doubt, this idea you've got to have hopelessness and all this kind of stuff. And it's always there, and there is hope by turning to God. A couple of things. One, but just before the break, you played something about the listen to the wind blow. I think that, you know, that little exit music that you played. The wind blowing is basically how politicians make decisions nowadays. If they can't create the wind to blow us that direction, they will listen or feel or sense the wind blowing and go that direction in order to give the people what they want, which has been misdirected for a long time, as we've talked about the humanist religion that's currently and for the last many generations has been at the center of our lives. But here's something that George Washington said. There's some controversy about this because some that were at the convention said he didn't. No, they didn't say he didn't. It just wasn't recorded by them. Others that were there said he did. There's historians that have argued about this, but I think the wisdom in this has got to be something we give consideration to. He said, if to please the people we offer what we ourselves disapprove, how can we afterwards defend our work? Let us raise a standard to which the wise and the honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God. Okay, now see, that's how they looked at it. This idea of blowing in the wind, of giving away to something that the people, we're going to please the people, okay? And of course, they try to tell us what we're going to be pleased with, and they try and make us fear and doubt, and they drive us into different things. You know, the idea with this COVID thing, they have used fear, they've used flattery, they've used bribery, and at some point, I fear it'll come to, kind of force and compulsion. But the idea of trying to drive us like scared rabbits into a pen for the slaughter seems to be what happens so often today. And I like what George Washington said, let us raise a standard to which the wise and the honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God. And that's where they were looking for this. There were men there present, and I can go back and give you their words and their works many times, where they felt the hand of God, the finger of God, the providence. And they didn't always say, you know, God the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They used other terminology to bring that imagery of God forward. And that was where they were focused. That was what their intent was. And today, I look at the unbelievably distracting perversions that are happening out there. And I think of our governor, for example. He's a typical example of putting your finger in the wind, doing the politically correct thing, and being a third-grade cheerleader girl that gets so breathlessly excited. I mean, he asks us to pray for rain and to end the drought. At the same time, he's celebrating a perversion of sexual relationships between men and women. And it is just men and women, you know that. But the fact of the matter is they have all of these different things. You say, oh, wait. No, God ordained this. This is his plan. And you're saying, oh, we're going to call on God to end our drought, but we're going to celebrate a perversion of God's plan. It just doesn't make any sense to me what the politicians are doing. They blow in the wind like your little, I don't know what you call that music when you go off into another segment.
It's called bumper music. In and out bumpers.
Bumper music. Okay, well, you're bumpering us around, and that's what the politicians are doing. And that, you know, they do this stuff, and it's kind of like they make popular stuff that is not wise. We need to make popular again that which is sound and good and wise, and unpopular that which is not sound and good and wise. And I guess that's one of the big challenges of, you know, being on the radio occasionally in a world that seems to be all mixed up. A voice of reason doesn't seem to have as much volume as it needs.
Sad but true, but we're trying to amp up the volume the best we can, ladies and gentlemen. Your finances obviously help us accomplish that goal. We don't want your money to support our families. We take care of that ourselves, but we do believe that, you know what? A lot of hands make heavy burdens light, and your financial support is very helpful indeed to cover the costs of these broadcasts. George Washington, let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The rest is in the hands of God. As we realize, ladies and gentlemen, there is a dearth in righteous moral leadership in America and in the world today. Let me highlight some of these examples. Governor Kemp, Brian Kemp says Biden is weaponizing the Department of Justice. Imagine blatant claims that the President of the United States is weaponizing a government agency. And imagine the people doing nothing about it and not being really concerned. They're ready to eat 75 hot dogs or watch somebody do it and then just celebrate. They're ready to watch a pregnant woman eat 31 hot dogs. Okay, that's what we're focused on. Bread and circus to the core. It's insanity. Ladies and gentlemen, but Joe Biden is taking us on. Not only is he weaponizing the Department of Justice, but here's a Joe Biden reality check, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to listen to Joe here, and then we'll talk about it. Cameron?
If you are incapable of thinking, or you're mentally ill, you can't own a weapon. If you're a terrorist, you can't own a weapon. You shouldn't be able to own a weapon if you're an abuser, and so on and so forth. There's never been a limit on who can own, that anybody could own a weapon, period. Now, and by the way, those who say the tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots, a great line. Well, guess what? The fact is, if you're going to take on the government, you need an F-15 with Hellfire missiles. There's no way an AK-47 is going to take care of you if you're going to take on, you're worried about the government coming down, knocking down your door. And so it's bizarre. We never said you could own any weapon at all from the beginning. You can't own a machine gun. You can't own a bazooka. You can't own an M1 tank. No matter how much money you have, you can limit the kind of weapons that are able to be owned. And so I think, and by the way, all the work I've done on this, including in our administration, I now have over 58% of the NRA members acknowledging you can't own an assault weapon. There's no need for it. You can't have a magazine that has more than 10 rounds in it. And I'll do it again, because here's what happens. Talk about moral depravity. These beautiful young kids that are here, I hope.
Think about that. The President of the United States literally weaponizing the Department of Justice, says Governor Brian Kemp. I think he's right. But now he's assaulting our right to keep and bear arms, making fun of us, saying, hey, there's no way an AK-47 is going to take care of you. Biden dismisses Founding Father quote on militias or a right to keep and bear arms. This president needs to flat out be arrested, Dr. Bradley. I mean, this is insanity.
Well, he completely misquoted it isn't the blood of patriots that's the fertilizer, it's the blood of tyrants. I mean, that, go back and read the original wording. I mean, tyrants are the ones that are to lose their blood so that we can
Cameron,
preserve.
Cameron, see if you can play that again really quick. Let's just do this real fast.
If you are incapable of thinking, or you're mentally ill, you can't own a weapon. If you're a terrorist, you can't own a weapon. You shouldn't be able to own a weapon if you're an abuser, and so on and so forth. There's never been a limit on who can own, that anybody could own a weapon, period. Now, and by the way, those who say the tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots, a great line.
Uh-huh.
Well, guess
right,
what?
Pa, there you go. The blood of patriots, ladies and gentlemen, is that really what was said?
I agree.
It's tyrants, right?
It's the blood of patriots and tyrants. It's the fact of the matter is that sometimes people get pushed too far, and it does take blood. Now, we have a way. We have peaceful means of restoring and preserving our blessings of liberty. But the fact of the matter is that we are ignoring the constitutional process. See, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, which we should have all been doing, not just this weekend, but going forward, it talks about the right of the people to alter or abolish their government. And the Founding Fathers had used all of their processes that they felt like they had, you know, the on bended knee and supplication and all that kind of stuff, to try and get the king's and parliament's attention. They were out of options, okay? And I always say, we've got two things that they didn't have. One is the vote, which is in question now after the 2020 election. It has been on a downhill grade for a long time, so I lose a little bit of that argument. The other thing is the Constitution. It allows you to change, but until it's changed by an authentic act, it is absolutely required that all obey it. And Biden is not obeying it with his talk about how we're going to destroy the Second Amendment.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Dr. Bradley and Sam Buchman on your radio. So Joe Biden mocking the Founding Fathers. No way an AK-47 is going to take care of you. Biden dismisses quote from the Founding Fathers regarding militias, etc. And he believes that, hey, you know what? The government's in control. They can do whatever they want with you. And he's mocking the public about this. But the quote, let's be clear, comes from Thomas Jefferson. And he was writing to, I think it was William Smith back in 1787. And the quote said, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It's its natural manure. And the general point he's making is when government gets too belligerent and out of control, that we better stand up against it or else we'll have a complete tyranny on our hands, because that's the way it goes when secret combinations get above the people. That is the quote, time and place in which it was said. He doesn't bring out the reality. He just wants the blood of patriots to be highlighted. What he doesn't realize is that tyrants such as himself, are in question as well. Now, I'm not in any way subjecting violence towards the president. What I'm telling you is, this is the quote from Jefferson to highlight that, you know what, we can't let government get too far above the people. And sadly, when tyranny thugs try to take control, they force war. And it's sad, but self-defense, protecting our wives, our children, our sacred honor, and our liberty becomes at stake. We're left with no choice sometimes when we let tyrants get above us to that degree, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, William Smith was John Adams' son-in-law. Okay, so, you know, these guys were, you know, they all worked and knew each other well. And if you look at the entirety of the letter that he wrote, and there's not time to read it all, but a couple of things he said in it. God forbid we should ever be 20 years without a rebellion. And well, anyway, here's another one. What country before ever existed a century and a half without rebellion? And what country can preserve its liberties if their rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. So here's the deal. The Founding Fathers and the Declaration of Independence is foundational on this thing. It's the right of the people to alter or abolish their government, and the consent of the governed is required. And the purpose of government is to secure God-given rights. All of those things are within a couple of sentences within the Declaration of Independence. Those things were considered and preserved in the Constitution of the United States. And George Washington, in his farewell address, said that if anything's found wrong, we've got the means to change it. We can do it peacefully, and we're never supposed to change it unless it's wrong. Well, the problem is that we're never supposed to do it by usurpation or by guess or by golly. This is all supposed to be followed. Everybody that goes into office takes an oath to uphold the Constitution. And so if a Joe Biden is up there and says, a magazine with more than 10 rounds, what? Or this idea that you have a parkerized finish on a firearm that doesn't have a smooth walnut stock with a shiny blued barrel, there's nothing in there about that. And the idea, by the way, let's go back to the Firearms Act of 1934. Basically, when the Miller case was decided, and we could go in detail about that, had there been anybody defending the Miller case, and not just the government presenting there, the Supreme Court basically said nobody proved a short-barreled shotgun was ever used in war. That's because they never talked about it in the thing, because there was no defense of it. That's what that decision was about. Because nobody proved it had ever been used in war, then the government can regulate it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's the corollary to that? If it's been used in war, the government cannot regulate it. Okay, so and two of the Supreme Court justices, if I recall correctly, had served in World War One. Two of them surely knew that the short-barreled shotguns had been a very effective weapon. The Germans complained about it in trench warfare. And short-barreled shotguns have been used since the invention of firearms. So the fact of the matter is that the Miller case actually strengthened the idea that these military-style weapons should be in the hands of the people. All of these things that if you don't know the history and background, we kind of scrape and bow and duck and run and hide, and we assume that guys like Joe Biden know what they're talking about. Well, none of us, none of your listeners probably assume that, but there are people throughout the nation that do. They think about this. But Jefferson's statement that he wrote back in 1787 is a contradiction, or at least maybe his letter's a warning against guys like Joe Biden. We do have a constitutional basis upon which we can stand. We do have a way. Our consent has been given. The government is there to preserve God-given rights, and we need to stand by those things and quit capitulating, for crying out loud. It is absurd what we're doing in this nation because of ignorance. And again, that goes back to the humanist religion that's being preached in the school system, that is a social agenda, that's, you know, school has become, and so has the military, become kind of a social club in which the politicized agendas are fostered and encouraged. People need to go back and understand and read what the true story is, and not just go by some soundbite that some buffoon that doesn't have any traction in his daily life in terms of his mental cognitive capabilities is feeding to us through his handlers, of course. But
well, and now people are starting to say, literal doctors and everything else, we need to have a serious evaluation of Joe Biden's mental faculties, etc. This is critical. Get it done. Trump's White House doctor calls for an evaluation of Trump's, or of Biden's, I'm sorry, undergo cognitive tests, etc. Do you want to respond to that, Dr. Miley?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been saying, basically since the 25th Amendment came around, and that was back in 1967, that it's going to bite us bad. It's going to be a source of a huge trouble. That 25th Amendment allows the president to be replaced. We don't have time to read the whole thing. It's a convoluted mass of he said, she said, I said, nobody said, who cares what you said kind of thing. But the point of the matter is that they're looking to have the 25th Amendment invoked, and it's kind of like, holy cow, look who's going to take the job. It's Kamala. She's not even a natural-born citizen. She doesn't qualify to hold the job of vice president or president. And we could talk about
that
at great
but
length.
But they set the standard with Obama before that. The Republicans didn't do anything about it. Trump promised he'd expose the lie. He never did. So there you have it. They've set the standard where Republicans and Democrats are all part of it by their silence or their advocation. It doesn't matter which. The results end up being the same. It's a sad tale to tell. I want to get one other story in before the end of the hour, Dr. Bradley. It's of the same focus, though. An arriving tropical storm, they claim, made demolition using controlled explosives unavoidable following the building collapse, the authorities said. We're talking about Surfside, Florida, where the literal building collapsed. And now they demolished the thing. We're seeing the same pattern. I highlighted on one of the broadcasts in the last several weeks this 15 telltale signs. The false flag formula is what it's called. 15 ways to detect a false flag article that somebody put out several years ago. And one of the ways is you destroy all the evidence before we can really get to it. They did this with the Twin Towers and Building 7 and all that kind of stuff as well, Dr. Bradley, where they got rid of all the rebel, all the evidence so quickly. And now this one. We haven't even hardly got the victims out, but yet they've already demolished it and destroyed all the evidence. It's a telltale sign of a flat-out false flag. Who destroyed that building and why, I don't know. But I'm telling you that when they do this, there's cover-up, signs of cover-up. They can call me a conspiracy theorist if they want to. The reality, though, is there. Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's interesting. I've got a friend that's about as cynical as I am, and I guess I have a lot of friends that way because people are just it's baffling to them. It's a complete enigma to the things that are being foisted on the country today. And this friend says anytime a press release news conference is called, you know they're doing spin control. I mean, it's like you're never going to get truth out of this because somebody wants to spin the story a certain way, start the narrative, not just a storyline. They want a script that's out there. And you could look across the board. I mean, almost anything that has happened, you know, you go back to the Gulf of Tonkin incident, or you go back to the trade towers that you bring back, or you go back to the John F. Kennedy assassination, or you go back to the issue of the COVID thing. It's all been completely narrated, and it's not just a narration. I always say that it's a complete script, and we can go from the very beginning of each one of these things, and it's like, okay, we tell this lie often enough, and don't vary from it. It will become truth.
And remember, when you varied from it before, they just said you were a nut, a crackpot, a wacko, a conspiracy theorist. Now they're literally saying you're a terrorist.
Well, and that's true. And like we've talked about before, how I've been deplatformed because I don't go with the storyline. You know, if it's not a storyline, it's a script, for crying out loud. And I point out the flaws that are so often, that should be readily apparent to every single person that has, you know, anything more than a half a brain. If you don't have and I guess we do have a lot of universal insanity, and it's been exacerbated by a lack of oxygen for about the last year and a half because we've cut down our brain cells' oxygenation with the way we've approached this thing. But the point of the matter is that's how we as a people are deceived into tyranny, and it's almost a universal storyline. You know, there's a book out. His name was Pat Shannon, I think, that wrote it, and it's called Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you get it and read it, it's like, holy cow.
Pat Shannon, a dear friend, though, by the way, a great guy.
Oh, is he? You know him. Wonderful.
Yeah,
I wished I knew him.
He used to be on the radio with us all the time.
Did he really? Well, he's got some compelling evidence that if you stop and think about it, you say, wait. So that wasn't true either? I mean, and I remember back, and I don't even have to remember back that far to 1964 because, you know, in my master's program, I reviewed the Gulf of Tonkin, for example. Or you look at the Liberty incident in 1967. I mean, the 60s were just a pack of lies. Well, and I think it's gotten worse. It's just that we didn't have all the ability to go out and do the research on it. But if you look at the Liberty incident and the Six-Day War with Israel and all that kind of stuff, what a devastatingly lie. And LBJ and Robert McNamara, I mean, it's like the same old suspects. On the USS Liberty, they just had a
commemoration down in Florida, and we sent Annie Miller, one of the Liberty News Radio people, down there live and covered it. And I interviewed people while I was at Red Pill Expo. We took part of the time and interviewed some of the people that are living from the USS Liberty for that commemoration just recently over the last, a month ago or whatever. Anyway, so we did that as well. So, you know what, we're doing the very best we can to tell the tale of Liberty, ladies and gentlemen. Our prayers are with you and your family, your loved ones, that you will wake up to these things, that you will have the integrity and the guts to stand for liberty, that we can preserve this nation. We don't seek for power, we seek to pull it down, ladies and gentlemen. And we seek to have transparent truth. And in the war in heaven continued on earth, we stand with the Lord's side. Who, ladies and gentlemen? Let's make that very clear. Jesus Christ lives. He loves us. He's the author of our liberty. And the only way for us to have liberty is to keep his commandments. And if we do so, he promises us that he will protect us and heal our land. What an incredible promise to celebrate this Independence Day. For Dr. Scott Bradley, FreedomsRisingSun.com, and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic of the United States of America. We declare this nation shall endure.